people can run with us.
There's a move, God happening. I saw this, I'm telling you, it's happening here. It's happening, it's come. Now's the time. And we've got to respond to it. You know, like Elijah was in place, he stood before the Lord in 1 Kings 18, and God said, I'm sending rain. And Elijah was able to respond and go with what God was doing and saying. And it's the same thing now. God is saying, in Habakkuk 2 verse 14, it says that there's a day coming, and I'm paraphrasing, but there's a day coming when the knowledge of the glory of God will fill the earth like the waters cover the sea. Yeah. And the living waters are flowing out of us. And in Acts 2, I've been looking at it, going through different translations and looking in the concordance, Strong's Concordance, where Peter's quoting Joel, and he says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out of my spirit. Because he's poured out his spirit already, you see. So, where is the Spirit of God? The Spirit of God is in us. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. So where are the rivers going to flow from? According to John 7:38, they're going to flow from our innermost beings. So the rivers are to pour. And it was amazing. We had someone on the weekend who hadn't really been part of the thing, but had a vision. And the vision was of this water just coming, just swelling up out of the building where we were and just flowing through all the houses and down the streets. And it was a tsunami that just went under doors, through windows, and it just filled the houses up with the glory of God. And this is what we're looking for, rivers of living water. So let's look at the tabernacle. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the way is, if you look at the tabernacle of Moses had three areas. It had the outer court, which was a very large area. It had about a 7.5 foot high fence around it. I know you've heard the teaching, so I'm going to be very brief. And then you had, as you went through the gate, there was the brazen altar, and you saw the laver, which was for the washing of the priest. And then you would go in the back area was another covered section, which was divided in half, the holy place and the Holy of Holies. So how does that apply to us? Because we've studied the tabernacle of Moses. Now let's just think about that in terms of what God was showing us. Because it was a parable or a picture. We know it's an exact copy of what was in heaven. The Bible tells us that clearly in Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9. But if we can go to Hebrews 9. The priest functioned in the tabernacle. Now, what are we? We are priests. Okay? And we come through the gate. There was only one entrance into the tabernacle. It didn't have a back door and a front door. It had a door in the front. Now, Jesus is the door. So, we come into, when we get born again, it's like we come into the outer court. And what does the outer court represent? It was not a place that was covered. It was a place that was open to the natural air. So it was a place where we can live. We're in Christ. We're inside. But we're also exposed to natural light, natural atmosphere. So we live. That sort of speaks of our life in the natural. The day-to-day stuff, our natural abilities, our natural tasks, our natural routines. But in that outer court was the brazen altar and the laver. Now, Paul tells us in Romans 12, verse 1, let me read from the Amplified, because I can quote it for you, King James English. It says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, you know, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God. It says, that's your reasonable service. So let's just see what it says here now. This is Amplified. Romans 12 verse 1, I appeal to you therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice. Isn't that interesting? Wholly devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God. Now listen to this. Which is your reasonable service. That's just reasonable service. That's not going beyond what is expected of us. And that's why when we talk about people who just want to drift in and out and play games with God, they haven't got the sense, they haven't got the spirit of what being born again is about. And sometimes you're even going to say, well, you know, what's happened? Are they being transformed or not? But anyway, it's not about them. This is about, it's about us. So here we are, we should present our bodies a living sacrifice. Now that brazen altar is right there in the part of our natural life. So when we say, okay, God, I'm pushing in, I'm making myself available, I'm going to let your spirit pray through me, I'm going to join in the intercession ministry of Jesus, that's presenting your body as a living sacrifice. And then when you think of the labor, that is, I mean, it's totally expected that verse 2 tells us, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But it carries on. You know, people say, well, I don't know what the will of God is for my life. Well, they should read the Bible, because it says here, it says, do not be conformed to this world, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. So, if anyone comes to you in the past and says, well, I don't know what God wants me to do, you say, go and read your Bible. It's there, clear as daylight. Because God, the majority of what we do in our lives is actually revealed to us through the Word. That's what the Word is about. It's a lamp to our feet. It lights up our path. And it addresses our value system. It addresses every part of how we think and what we desire. And it brings adjustment. We transform by the renewing of our minds. So that's the labor. Now what are we to do? We're to go into that holy place. So Jesus says, I am the way. So the way is coming through the door, presenting your body, and it's being transformed by the renewing of your mind, being washed by the water of the Word. And then, what is the truth? That's the next step. So if you want to say the way, the truth, and the life. The truth is revealed knowledge. So when you went into the first covered area, the holy place, that was a place that was not open to natural light. So it was not a place that you could move about in without revelation knowledge, because it had the seven-branched menorah, which was there, and it speaks of the light or the revelation of the Holy Spirit. So when we start working with the things of God, why do we have to link our arms with the Holy Spirit? Why do we have to charge and edify ourselves in prayer and build ourselves up and then get to that place where He starts energizing us and taking us places? Because as we start coming into the holy place, the Holy Spirit is the one that will illuminate and take us forward. Now, in the tabernacle of Moses, we see that the golden altar of incense was in the holy place, and the priests would burn incense on that on the golden altar of incense night and day. So, and it was here that we looked in Revelation, wasn't it? We looked and saw what the incense of prayer was. Did I speak here about that?
Yes.
Yes, okay, so you remember that, of course. Of course. Everyone remembers everything.
Yeah,
yeah, you remember the bowls of incense before the throne of God, and how the angel takes the incense that's in the bowl, dips it in the fire, and throws it upon the earth. So incense is right before the throne of God. Now what is interesting is then, you know, in the tabernacle of Moses, once a year they would go into the Holy of Holies. But we live in a different covenant, and the way is open now. So if we go to Hebrews 9, in fact. And I'm reading from verse 1. It says, now even the first covenant had its own rules and regulations for divine worship, and it had a sanctuary, but one of this world. For a tabernacle was erected in the outer division or compartment, of which were the lampstand, he's talking about the holy place now, and the table with its loaves of showbread. Now what is the showbread? You know, we break bread together. In the new covenant, that's speaking of fellowship with the Holy Spirit as well. Isn't that amazing? Fellowship with God. May the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. So the altar of showbread is representing fellowship in the new covenant. It says, In verse 3, but inside, beyond the second curtain or veil, there stood another tabernacle known as the Holy of Holies. It had the golden altar of incense and the Ark of the Covenant. Now, understand that this was a copy of the real tabernacle. It was made without human hands. The golden altar of incense speaks of prayer to us. And I was reading Romans 8:27 again, and I suddenly saw something that I hadn't seen before. And where it speaks about how the Spirit pleads. There's a little word that I didn't notice. Well, I'll read it to you. Don't worry about turning there. In Romans 8, our Bible strength just falls open. See? It says, he who searches the heart of men knows what is in the mind of the Holy Spirit, what is intended. Because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God. Right in the presence of God, where we're seated now as newcomer believers. We're seated in Christ, right in the presence of God. And the Spirit of God is actually interceding, as is Jesus, in the Holy of Holies. It's that place. And that's where we are. If we are with the Spirit and in the Spirit, and 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17 says, those who join themselves to God are one Spirit with them. We become one Spirit with God, in union with Him. We are before God. And that's where the incense is, and that's where the fire, the fire on the altar is, and where the golden bowl gets dipped in that fire and thrown upon the earth. And that's when we see these eruptions and explosions and thunderbolts and lightning. But the Spirit is pleading before God. And this is the incense that is being burnt in the very throne room of God. It's the prayers of the saints. And we are now, remember, and the incense was burnt, could only be burnt by priests, and only priests would go into the holy place. What are we? We are priests to our God, kings and priests. So there's the priestly function. Our priestly function, if we look at Jesus now in the new covenant, it says that he went into the Holy of Holies, and it says he made an offering and he sat down. And that is in Hebrews 10 verse 12. It says, where is this one Christ, after he had offered a single sacrifice for our sins that shall avail for all time, sat down at the right hand of God? So in one sense, his priestly function as the high priest is complete, because there's no more sacrifice. But what is he doing now? He's burning incense. What does he do? Romans 8:34 and Hebrews 7:25 says he lives to intercede. This thing of incense is still very much alive and very real. And the golden altar of incense is right before the throne of God now.
We should be swinging it weekly, John, shouldn't we?
Yeah. Continually. Yeah. That's what we're doing when we pray. And when we pray in the Spirit, we're joining in with Jesus' ministry. And that is a ministry right in the Holy of Holies. Now, can we live there the majority of our lives? No, I believe that God's shown us it's a parable in one way. We can take it as a parable. The outer court, the holy place, and the Holy of Holies. So what happens when we decide to start praying in tongues? That's like a sacrifice. It's just like a sacrifice of praise. If you think of praise and worship, because it's also a three-stage thing. You go from a sacrifice of praise to high praises to worship. I just see these patterns repeating in the Bible. And we are triune beings. We go, we have a natural body. We have soul, a soulish area, emotions, intellect. We have a spirit. A triune being. So the whole thing is to go right into the Holy of Holies. That's where we've got to be when we are in God. And that's where we've been going, but maybe some people haven't realized we literally are before the throne of God. And if you train your mind to be aware, if you start reading and meditating in the Word, what the throne room looks like, you'll start literally seeing it. It's sanctified imagination. That's what it is. where is it that the waves of prayer and often the warfare happens? I believe that happens actually in the spirit most times before we go into the Holy of Holies. There's a lot of incense and there's a lot of you know, the shout of the Lord and the battle cries and the clapping and the stamping and the fighting. And then when we go into the Holy of Holies, there's petition, there's travail. There's just a whole different atmosphere when the Holy Spirit turns the prayer like that. And you just have a sense of the majesty many times when the Holy Spirit is taking us into that right before the throne of God. There's just that awareness. I just think of Queen Esther. I think I've shared that, haven't I? Yeah, just standing before the throne. And we the bride of Christ, and it's like he just looks at us and he just has to just extend his he'll do it every time because we are welcome there. We don't have to ask for permission. We just come boldly. But when we come like that, it's just like the king when Esther came, he wanted to give her anything. I think he even said to her, "You can ask me for up to half the kingdom," something like that, didn't he? He was like overwhelmed. And we have the same effect on God when we in holiness in the spirit when we stand in that place. So the way, the truth, the life, just a quick overview and a quick picture of the tabernacle, just to kind of show another way of the three stages that I talk about when we start to charge ourselves, where we start going into that place where the Holy Spirit starts giving us utterance. We are then becoming illuminated with revelation knowledge, because he's starting to give us words and he's starting to initiate what is happening to us. And then we go to the third place, which is awesome. That's it.